You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What are the privacy and security concerns that the government has?
Well, governments around the world have been moving to target Chinese technology companies, so this is not unexpected. I guess the issue here is that WeChat is a communications platform, and it is not end-to-end encrypted, which some other platforms are. So WhatsApp, for example, is end-to-end encrypted, which means that even WhatsApp, in theory, is unable to figure out what people are saying. They can tell who's communicating with who, but they can't tell what the communication is actually, the content of it is. I guess the fear is that if government officials and politicians who may be in positions of power are exchanging communications on the WeChat platform, it's not end-to-end encrypted, whereas other platforms like WhatsApp are end-to-end encrypted. So what this means is that in theory, the Chinese government or whoever, because WeChat is owned by a Chinese company, and the same could be said for TikTok. Communications and posts there can all be monitored. Whereas, so this has really been a global trend. People have been targeting Chinese technology companies. But my concern is that we don't take it too far. There is a good case to be made that government employees perhaps should not be using these technologies when they could be giving away state secrets, as it were. But more recently, I read that Joe Biden wants to ban all Chinese EVs in the U.S., saying that they're a security risk. Now, I mean, that's completely over the top because, if you really want to do that, if you're worried about government, U.S. government workers giving away their location by using Chinese EVs, then don't allow government workers to buy Chinese EVs, but don't stop everyone from buying them. Because for you and I, the majority of citizens, it's really, really hard to see how that could be a security risk to New Zealand or any other country if that data is usually mostly just traffic data and is data used to improve the performance of the vehicle. So, I think we have to be careful here that we don't impose conditions that are really designed for another purpose. In other words, they are trade protectionism by another name. That's what we need to be careful about, I think.
Have there been any instances where there's been a data breach through the use of Chinese-owned EVs or social media?
Well, not to my knowledge. I mean, these companies have all suffered data breaches in the sense that, hackers have got into them. And hackers get into Chinese companies just as much as any other companies. So these companies have fairly robust security measures in place. And that's a separate matter. We can look to them to keep standards of security. But the concern when it comes to WeChat and New Zealand politicians, I'm guessing, is that, arguably they are in positions of power and it's another tool for the intelligence services of China. However, again, we need to have a sense of proportion about this. I want to remind your listeners that it's just over a decade, just over 10 years since Edward Snowden made his spectacular disclosures. People have largely forgotten about that now, but we must remember that these disclosures were quite sensational at the time. The United States was doing the same thing. Its intelligence agencies had backdoors into all the then U.S. technology companies, such as Meta and Google and so on. Well, it wasn't Meta then, it was Facebook. Now, Meta, of course, has now been spun out into WhatsApp and Instagram and so on. But these companies, we don't know. We don't know if the U.S. intelligence agencies still have backdoors into those platforms. So we know that WhatsApp is end-to-end encrypted, and that gives some measure of security. People can chat on that platform without having the risk of even WhatsApp supposedly cannot decipher the messages. It can tell who is communicating with who, that's the metadata, but it cannot, and it may be required to hand that metadata over to the US intelligence agencies. And same can be said for the New Zealand intelligence agencies through the whole Five Eyes program. So again, these are unknowns. We don't really know what new technologies have emerged since Edward Snowden went public over 10 years ago with his spectacular allegations, all of which were pretty well substantiated, that the US, the NSA, was tapping into people's private conversations.
Expanding more on that, for regular people, we have a general idea of how our data is harvested when we use apps. But why is it that the government takes more precaution when it comes to Chinese-owned apps? What is the difference between ByteDance and Meta?
Well, there's no difference. That's the bottom line. There's no difference other than one is Chinese-owned and one is US. It's a US, one's a US corporation, one's a Chinese corporation. And now, you know, people keep saying that, well, the Chinese corporations are subject to Chinese law, intelligence services. The same is true of the US. We know that there are FISA is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, which makes secret warrant orders against U.S. technology or even Western technology companies operating in the U.S. So, I mean, for that matter, the Chinese companies would be subject to warrants from the U.S. authorities as well. So, you know, we have to be realistic in the modern world that intelligence agencies, if they really want your data, they can get it. So I think, you know, that is something that politicians need to be aware of. For the vast majority of citizens, this is not a big issue. I mean, most people don't have any great secrets that they want to hide from the intelligence agencies. But if you're a politician, then I guess there is some due diligence you need to take before you decide which communication platform you're going to use. You might decide, well, I'm not going to go with WeChat because I know that that could be, it's more likely to be listened into by the Chinese intelligence agencies. But if I use Instagram or WhatsApp, maybe I can get some measure of security, but it's not guaranteed. We don't know, as I said, whether the NSA has capability to listen even to those conversations. I mean, in theory, something that is end-to-end encrypted, like WhatsApp, in theory, it cannot be decrypted. But again, we don't know. You know, more than 10 years have gone since Edward Snowden, the whistleblower, came out and revealed all the inside, the techniques that the U.S. was using. And I want to remind some of your listeners that these techniques are pretty outrageous. They would even intercept routers and other high-tech equipment when it was being shipped, like Cisco chips and so on, when they were being shipped in a crate, sealed packages. The NSA would intercept the package, open it, insert a secret backdoor into the chip, seal it back up again so no one knew that it wasn't the original factory seal of Cisco. And it was such a backdoor that could be activated, you know, a year from the time it was installed in the computer equipment. So, this is going on during Edward Snowden's time. We don't really know what's going on now because there haven't been any other whistleblowers that have come out. And we know that Snowden's now forced to live in exile in Moscow. I'm guessing that all the intelligence agencies, Western ones and the Chinese, are engaging in these kinds of practices. The only thing I would alert your listeners to is that there is a difference between WeChat and WhatsApp because WeChat is not end-to-end encrypted. So in theory, it is not as secure as a platform such as WhatsApp. I'm not being paid by WhatsApp to say this. It's general knowledge. But we need to be cautious about how far these kinds of prohibitions go. As I say, you know, there's a fine line between acting for security purposes and then doing something which is basically targeting Chinese companies just because they're Chinese. And then that becomes an issue of international trade. And we must remember that New Zealand has a free trade agreement with China, with the People's Republic, and how many hundreds of billions of dollars that is worth to the New Zealand economy. So we need to balance all of these criteria, I think, and be somewhat cautious.
WeChat is the most popular messaging app in China. It's also everything in between regarding social media. Are you able to expand on what social media and news looks like in China?
Well, I haven't actually been to China since 2018. So since COVID, I haven't traveled there. But I understand that there's a proliferation of social media in China. And you know, it's got its own kind of culture, social media culture, which is probably related to the Western social media culture, but not exactly the same. I've heard of stories that WeChat, for example, it's censored in the sense that if you make certain posts, they will be magically disappeared even before they reach their destination. And now I'm not sure to what extent those things happen, but I have no doubt that there is good evidence that that type of thing happened. The technology is hardwired into it, perhaps using artificial intelligence. There isn't probably an actual person sitting there deleting someone's social media post, but a lot of it happens through automated algorithms and so on. This is artificial intelligence. Now, the Chinese are well ahead on that, in that game, when it comes to artificial intelligence, because if data is the new oil, and we all say, you know, data is the new oil, well, which country and which companies have the most amount of data? Well, clearly, it's the Chinese technology companies. There are more users of TikTok and all the other Chinese social media than perhaps even Meta. So they've got more data, so therefore they're able to learn more from that data, possibly, and some people say that they are winning the algorithmic race to come up with artificial intelligence. So we need to be cognizant of this. China cannot be constrained or restricted in that, because their internal market is already, you know, over a billion people. And also, these platforms operate throughout other countries, especially Asia. I've heard it said that many of the people I've spoken to continue to use WeChat because they say that it can be used in many other countries where Western platforms might not be permitted. Now, I don't have any evidence of which ones those might be, but, you know, we say, well, you know, we banned WeChat, but some countries ban WhatsApp because they, you know, that's a threat to a lot of governments because they can't read through the encryption. So those governments are happy to have WeChat operating in those countries. So if you're traveling in some of those Asian countries, and again, I don't know which Asian countries these are. There may be countries like Vietnam and Indonesia, perhaps. I'm not sure. I need to do a bit of research on that. But the advantage is, if you have WeChat, then you can still continue to be in contact with people, even people who are not in China. So I think this is why I think WeChat has become as popular as it is, even though most users probably know that it's not end-to-end encrypted. And so you would take your own precautions not to say things on it that could get you into trouble. But for most people, that's not really something they are concerned about.
I know that Google Meta, so that includes Messenger and WhatsApp, is banned in China. So WeChat, therefore, is the most popular messaging app and most likely the only one. Will the proposal to ban WeChat for MPs, will this limit Chinese MPs from being able to communicate with their family?
Yeah, you're talking about Chinese MPs in New Zealand who have family in China.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. It could have ramifications for them, personal nature. That could be a concern. But again, you know, if you take on public office and you become an MP in this country, then I guess, you know, you accept that you have to comply with New Zealand law, not Chinese